What's going on, man?
I'm just over here dancing on my own.
Yes, sir. Phillies back to Red October, right?
Hell yeah.
And you just enlightened me because I just thought tonight's win was a playoff, but no, it's a home field wild card spot. So
Yes, sir.
pretty awesome. So I know, kind of real quick though, looking at how the rest of the wild card is not shaken out yet. A lot of those teams are really close. The Phillies had kind of pulled away there in the last week because they now have won six in a row, so they got that all kind of buttoned up and done away with. But you still have two spots open. You've got it right now as it sits. Arizona, the Cubs, Miami are all within half a game of one another. So three teams fighting for two spots. On the outside looking in, you have Cincinnati a game and a half out. So it's certainly realistic that they would come and possibly clinch one of those spots. San Diego is one game from being eliminated, and San Francisco is two games from being eliminated. I don't think you hear from either of those. They're just too far out to me with too few games remaining to make anything. A lot of things would have to break right for either team. So, I don't know. What's your take on who might clinch these other two spots and how this works out?
I want Cincinnati, man. Honestly, I want to see, and I know he's fallen off a little bit. I want to see what Ellie De La Cruz can do in the playoffs when he gets in that big spotlight. Like he hasn't played well really since the All-Star break, but he's just such an intriguing prospect to me and such an intriguing player. If he pulls it all together again, he could really be like the next big star in the National League, I think. And I'd really like to see it because he pisses people off, and I love that.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, he has kind of fallen off, and it's a shame to see because he was like, man, he came out of the gates just awesome. And I think everyone kind of had that fever, and everyone was looking for his cards and anything. It was just this guy was just like the next big thing. And I think he will be. I really do. I think he'll be something special moving forward for the Reds. No, I agree. I'd love to see them in it. I would like to think that Arizona takes the other spot. I don't know, that, right now they're beating up on the White Sox pretty bad. But man, that team's just tough.
Yeah.
Zona's got a tough lineup. They've got tough pitching. So I don't know. That one kind of scares me. But you come into the bank during the playoffs.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, look, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to play Arizona. I don't want to play a hot San Diego team. So if they were somehow to pull it off and make it into the playoffs, that would not be a team that I would want to play. San Francisco, I kind of want to play just so we can stomp them out too, just like we did the 49ers.
Yeah, let's get rid of Kapler one more time.
Yeah. And yeah, plus fucking Gabe Kapler, I mean. Fuck him. Fucking douchebag.
Yeah. And the Cubs, I don't know. It's the Cubs have gotten really, really hot there for a while, and they've kind of been flirting with this whole playoff notion. Now, whether they stick it out here in the last week remains to be seen. But right now it's looking like if it were to end right now as we record this, it would be the Phillies, the Diamondbacks, and the Cubs. But a few games left, maybe the Reds squeak in. So I would think that Diamondbacks and Reds. I'm kind of thinking that way, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, I know for you, having the Cubs make it would probably be a bit of a nightmare considering where you're at.
Yeah, a lot of Cubs fans here. But I don't know, it's funny that their rivalry would be more of a nightmare if both like the Cubs and the Cardinals made it.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
That's
because
true.
that rivalry is just it's weird. It's like the Phillies Mets almost. It's just this deep-seated, now they have that Midwestern niceness, bless you type niceness, but
Bless your heart.
yeah, exactly. And it's just I don't know.
Fake.
Yeah. But it's very ugly, so it's got
Walk
that it's
throw
got
away, so.
yeah, exactly. So but no, I don't know, man. Cubs, they, you know, basically did something similar to what we did in the offseason. You know, there was four hot, you know, superstars out there, all shortstops. And the Cubs nabbed another one of them, just with the stupidest name ever.
Dansby.
Exactly. So I don't know.
How did that work out for them this year?
Yeah, I mean, they're flirting with a playoff spot too. So,
well, yeah, but if, I mean, maybe I'll, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Dansby kind of shit the bed?
Let's pull him up real quick just to see.
Because I feel like there was a point where all of the big free agent shortstops were not having good years, actually, and then Trey turned it around.
Let's just throw some again. We're gonna use numbers that are accurate as of yesterday, and we're just gonna kind of play the game of, you know, who won the battle for this year with these four? Because we talked about this early on, basically right before the baseball season began and kind of before the Phillies even signed Trey. So let's go with Carlos Correa first with the Twins. Now, the Twins have actually been not a bad team at all this year.
No.
So you've got the Twins already clinching their division. They're playoff bound, you know, so let's, you know, put that first and foremost out front. However, Carlos Correa goes and hits right now, or at least as of yesterday, 230, 18 homers, metrically good for 1.3 WAR. Then let's turn to the guy that San Diego went for, Xander Bogaerts. A bit better, 283, 19 homers, his WAR at 4.4. Trey, look, started off really, really, really bad for us. I mean, bad. It was like, oh boy, what are we to get ourselves into here? But then we've talked about it here where the fans got behind him, and most of these numbers really have just come within the last 2 months. 263, 26 home runs. It's just awesome. His WAR is at 3.4. Dansby's had a pretty good season, metrically wise. But the funny thing is, batting average and home run total are lower than Trey. 250, 22, with a 4.6 WAR. So his is probably defensive, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I'm looking real quick. Yeah. His is a good chunk of his comes defensively. Trey. Well, his is going to come defensively too, but not as much. A lot of his is just straight up like offensive. So why does it show 3.4 there? It should be 4.4. I don't know. Whatever. But Trey's having a, I think Baseball Reference is wrong. His should be a little higher than what it shows. But anyway, I would say the Phillies won, honestly. You know, you've got the guy with to me, on the surface, the better offensive numbers, and the fact that the guy's hit most of that stuff in the last 2 months.
Right.
So I don't know.
That's the thing is you look at the turnaround and you have to look at the entire season. I get that. But I don't think going forward, the Trey Turner that we're going to see is the Trey Turner from prior to the ovation. I think the Trey Turner you see going forward is going to be the Trey Turner that you've seen in the past few months, where he's really got it together. He's really turned it on, and he's really been one of the best shortstops in the league.
Yeah, and I think this kind of proves the point of as you phrased it many times. Let's get the Negadelphia attitude out. And let's show these people that are struggling, let's get behind them. And I think Trey's going to go through his streaks. I think he had a recent streak here over the weekend that he broke. That was like an over 20, you know. And that was like the worst streak he's had since, you know, his immaculate turnaround. It's going to happen. But, you know, I think he realizes that, you know, you have this fan base behind him. And it's something special. Real quickly, though, I want to flip and kind of get your thoughts on the American League. Baltimore clinched early. Minnesota, we already mentioned, and oddly enough, Tampa Bay clinched a few days ago with their wild card spot. So Baltimore and Tampa Bay out of the East. Right now, you basically have a big battle in the AL West between Houston, Seattle, and the Rangers. They're all flirting just within a couple of games of one another. And Toronto, which oddly enough is yet another AL East team. So you're basically very likely going to end up with three AL East teams out of these six, which is just crazy. And they're not the Yankees or the Red Sox.
Which is amazing.
Isn't that nuts?
Let me put that out there, first of all. That makes me extremely happy because fuck New York and fuck Boston. That said, you know I'm kind of partial to the Mariners. I'd like to see the Mariners make it. I am surprised that Tampa fell to the wild card. Because there was a time in the beginning of the season where how many straight wins did they run?
Oh, I'm sorry. I misspoke there. Baltimore and Tampa have both clinched playoff spots. Currently, Baltimore is the division leader. They're only separated by a couple of games. Okay. I'm sorry, I spoke there. But they're right now, Tampa Bay is leading the wild card race since Baltimore is leading their division.
Okay.
And Minnesota has already won their division, so that's
I'm not surprised about Minnesota. They've been really good this year. I hope that they kind of get knocked out early on. I'd like to see them get knocked out. And obviously, I'd love it if Houston didn't even make it.
Yeah, I would too. And I think Minnesota does get knocked out early, mainly because they are a decent team in a bad division.
Yeah.
Right now, Minnesota's record is 83-73. And if you stack that up against, you know, teams that have clinched, that is by far the worst. And yeah. They have it. They're a division clinching. That's not just clinching a playoff spot. Every other team, including their own Phillies, have 88 wins or more. So,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No, it'll be interesting. It'll be cool to kind of see how this shakes out, and we'll kind of follow along here a couple of episodes, see how our own Phillies do. And man, I just hope they take it all the way back to the World Series.
Yeah, man, let's go.
Just keep Baltimore out of it if we make it, because I have a bad feeling if they do.
How cool would that be, though? A repeat of the 83 World Series.
Yeah, I just don't want to face them.
No, I agree.
I don't want to face Houston. I just don't want to face Baltimore, just because, man, that team is just. They're going to be perennial in it now.
So out of the American League teams, who do you want to face?
If I want to face it to win it, like let's say we win all the way, I'm telling you right now, I want Tampa Bay again.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. You know why? Because their big gun's not coming back.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Plus, we beat them in 15 years ago.
You look at it and look at the different scenarios. So, all right, Seattle, you're going all the way across the country. I'm not a big fan of that, but both teams got to do it. Okay. Houston, obviously the rematch from last year. The Rangers, there's no real storyline there.
Well, Rangers swept them out to start the year. Now, the Rangers have fallen off a little bit since then, but they were such a good team really for a long time there, and still are, but
yeah. And then, but I mean, like, historically there's
no there's not. So
then we get to Tampa, and Tampa, you know, obviously the 2008 World Series, and Baltimore the 83 World Series, and also just being so fucking close.
Ooh, Toronto too.
Toronto,
we can exact revenge finally.
World Series.
Yes.
I fucking want Toronto. I want Toronto.
And I want John Kruk on commentary.
Fuck yeah. I want John Kruk on commentary and Mitch Williams. Actually, no. We're going to get Mitch Williams the fuck away from everything and anything sports for that series.
I will start a GoFundMe to keep him away from that World Series.
Yeah. We'll make a GoFundMe and send Mitch Williams to Australia.
You can go watch some kangaroos hop around. Yeah.
Oh, wait,
you
know. No. Is is Virgin Airlines still doing the things where they fly people to space?
I don't know. Are they?
Because maybe we can just send them up to space and leave them there for a little bit. He can go hang out on the space station.
Yeah, I mean, World Series goes on for what? Maybe a week and a half?
Yeah.
Or so?
How much would it cost to get them up on the space station until the series is over?
I think we can. I think we could swing it. It would be worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be worth it just to hopefully have a shot at fucking, you know, actually beating those assholes.
No, I like that. Yeah, let's do a 93 rematch and let's finally exact revenge. But yeah, we have to have Krucky on commentary though.
Right. And then once that happens and we win that, then we can go after the 83 rematch. And then once we've taken care of Toronto and Baltimore, then we can go after Houston.
All right, I like it.
I feel like once we've loaded up and we've gotten a couple more under our belt, then we take on Houston. And then maybe the Yankees won't suck anymore, and then we can have a 2009 rematch.
Oh, yeah, we take them out too.
Yeah. See, it's the Phillies, it's the Phillies revenge tour.
Yeah, I like it.
Maybe we can get Taylor Swift to sing the national anthem.
Well, maybe
she'll probably be too busy in Kansas City.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. So, speaking of, we got a couple weeks of NFL action to kind of run down. We're obviously going to focus heavily on the birds, but you know, we're big football fans, and I think a lot of it comes from the fact that we've played fantasy football for years and years and years. So we do like to follow other players and other teams, and not that we're fans of necessarily, but we do keep tabs on it. Week two, the birds had the Thursday night game on everyone's favorite station, Amazon Prime.
Jesus Christ.
And look, the Eagles had that game in hand. I know the Vikings were up at one point, but to me, that score never really dictated how that game felt. Right. I realized they only won by six, but it just really felt like a two-score win or more. They had that in hand. I'm not saying that Kirk Cousins was primetime Kirk Cousins, but he didn't win. So,
and that's the thing. Like, what we need to look at and what we need to realize, and maybe the NFL needs to take notice of this. Kirk Cousins now has thrown for, I believe, over 300 yards in all three of his games, and they've lost every single fucking game.
Yep.
And so. Yep. Maybe now, if you look at the Eagles in weeks two and three, they've run for almost 200 yards. I know they ran for over 200 yards in week two against Minnesota, and I forget how many yards they ran for yesterday against Tampa, but they've been crushing it in the ground game. And maybe the NFL really needs to start rethinking its stance on running backs in this league. Because
Eagles put up
is good for something, but
yeah, Eagles put up 201 yesterday. So no, you're right. I mean, and the Eagles are doing this. DeAndre Swift has been just insane. In fact, he was the first Eagles running back since LeSean McCoy did it back in 2014 to have back-to-back games of 130 plus yards.
And Bryce Brown did it that year, I believe that year as well.
That's a name you don't hear every day.
Right.
It's really cool. You've got and you and I have talked about this through text. Look, you've got DeAndre, you've got Kenneth Gainwell, who had a huge presence in the first week. You've got Boston Scott back there. You've got Rashad Penny, who's essentially been absent the first 3 weeks of the season. Now he's been a little bit out there, but you know, just not a whole lot. And it begs the question, like, he was basically on the sidelines for most of these first 3 weeks. Like, he was inactive the week one.
He's inactive week one. Week two, he had a couple runs. He had, I think, three or four runs. And then this week he didn't have any.
So what, you know, I get that you bring these guys in and you make the trades and you sign, whatever. I get it for depth, but I mean, to just not use someone is kind of weird. And you brought up a good point. You said, you know, kind of as the game was wrapping up yesterday, why not give Penny the ball? And I, you know, why not? What's going on there?
What they were speculating online, or not online, but in the articles I was reading, is that maybe he has an injury that's not been disclosed, and which is illegal in the NFL. Like, you can't do that. Right. You'll get fined. So I don't really buy that. The only thing I can figure is, you know, Jalen had flu-like symptoms yesterday. Maybe he did too. So he was there and he was like, look, I can go if you need me, but please don't need me. That's the only thing I can figure, because dude, especially with how, granted, he hasn't been able to stay healthy, but when he's been healthy, he's been an explosive runner. And I would think, if nothing else, Kenny Gainwell's coming back off and, or Kenny Gainwell was injured. Yeah. Kenny Gainwell was injured.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to like I almost said Bryce Brown. You got to use Rashad Penny at the end of the game just to keep your other backs fresh. But
I don't know. Look, I'm not going to really question too much. Look, they're 3-0. It's been a really nice, the first 2 weeks I was kind of like, but you really can't tell. Week one, especially, and week two is what it is, especially because your starters don't get like hardly any reps during the preseason. So you're just kind of getting their preseason out of the way. Last night was a statement win, in my opinion. Now, granted, I think it could have been much more of a blowout, but you have that one pick that was within the, yard or foot or whatever it was of the end zone. That was a ball designed to go to Devontae, and then the next play turns into a safety, which quite possibly was one of the dumbest play calls I've ever seen watching football ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know how good the Eagles' run defense is. Why do you call that play?
Exactly. That should have been a quick out pass,
You get some space, get to your 3-4-5 yard line, whatever. Right. Just get some space, and that's not at all what they did.
Right. Or even a bootleg, just anything to the outside.
Let's run a goal line play on our own goal line.
Right. You're running into the fucking teeth. That defense has been mutilating your running backs all game. And fuck it. Let's run a dive.
Yeah.
No, man.
And Rashad White's not exactly a bruiser.
Right. Right.
This isn't Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. It's not like, oh shit, it's not like you're doing the sneak that the Eagles do, and at least get a yard, because you needed something. And honestly, so real quick to go back to that interception. Honestly, ball was thrown great. It was just that was one hell of a pick by that.
That was a great pick.
He was back.
Yeah, no, he was in the right spot.
Yeah, I've got no gripes. That's the thing. Jalen's thrown 3 interceptions in the first 3 weeks. That is, he's thrown the same amount of interceptions as it took him to get to in like week 10 or week 13 last year. But the 2 interceptions that were thrown in that game, I don't want to say I'm okay with, because you're never okay with turnovers.
No.
But that one near the end zone, it is what it is. The one to DeAndre Swift when he ran the little out pattern and he was gonna, and then he broke inside and Jalen thought, I guess, he was going outside. It's a miscommunication in week 3 of the regular season.
Right.
It didn't happen. Right. It's, and you're talking about a guy that's been with that's new to the team. I'm not okay with it, but on the scale of things that I'm pissed off about, that's like non-existent.
Yeah, exactly. And, right. And I think there's some other positives too. Britton Covey, whatever.
Yeah.
Had an amazing game yesterday. Great returns. Basically for a guy that was not guaranteed anything, and was practice squatted and was brought back up because they had nobody, you know, and that's just how he's been treated pretty much all season. Dude, I mean, awesome. Yeah. Awesome game. You can't ask for much more than that, especially if you know, just the game he had would have been awesome from like someone that was like, you know, a known commodity.
Right.
You know, he's known to not do good at all. So, I mean.
Well, and that's where I care to disagree a little bit is he, for some reason, our fans don't really like him. But honestly, he's had maybe one or two slip ups. But when he's actually, when he returns the ball, he does good. So I don't really have anything against him. I think he's a pretty decent returner. Would I like to see more out of him? Yeah, absolutely. But I think that he gets slighted a lot because he's part of that Michael Clay special teams unit that has underachieved in every aspect of the game aside from Jake Elliott. So I think he kind of gets a bad rub from that. But aside from that, I really think he's a good returner.
I think he just scares me with the his hands. I don't know why. Yeah. I just feel like he's –
Well, even the
very
first
very turnover prone.
Even that really good return that he had to in this game, he did kind of bobble it real quick, and then he broke it.
Yeah, I think that's what like always concerned me about him. But he had a hell of a game yesterday. You know, let's talk a little bit. Jalen Carter, my goodness,
Jesus,
good Lord, those Georgia guys, God.
And imagine when we get N'Kobe Dean back. And imagine this. Imagine Nolan Smith fully understanding and fully getting the defense.
Yeah, you can see him growing week by week now.
Right. By the end of the season, if they all stay healthy, this defense is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's already reaching ridiculous levels with not allowing – any team to run for more than I think 78 yards, which is what the Patriots had. They had set, I believe, 78 yards in the first game, and since then it's just gone down.
Yeah, 41 yesterday.
Yeah, so like you're talking a team that perennially the run defense has been an issue, and right now as things stand, they're number one in the league against the rush.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been awesome. So I'm really excited to kind of see, you know, as we move forward. You know, I was not concerned, but it was like after week one, obviously, like I said, you know, like we're basically talking the regulars are getting their preseason out of the way. It was a kind of like week one of last year where it was like, man, it's a really close game against a team that probably shouldn't have been as close as it was. And then the Vikings game didn't feel like a statement, but it felt, you know, that they could have probably been a little bit further away than the 6 points. Right. And then yesterday felt like more of the statement. Again, they probably could have rolled up an extra touchdown or two.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just the way it was. You know, moving forward, you know, was it Eagles and the Commanders in week four?
Yep.
You know, we're back at the link. I don't know if I have anything to really be frightened about with the Commanders at this point. You know, I don't know. What's your take on the Commanders and what you've seen of anything in the first 3 weeks?
Brian Robinson Jr. is the answer for them at running back. And that's pretty much all they've shown me. The defense is good. The defense is not great.
Yeah. There's nothing that tells me that I don't see this being anything less than a 10 or a 14 point win.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't remember where I came down on them during when we were making our picks, but I feel like the Eagles are a better team than the Bills at this point.
Yeah. I don't think we really started talking about any real big concerns until the Eagles hit certain teams back like week six, seven-ish maybe. Like, because Eagles go to the Rams in week five and the Eagles and the Jets. We talked about that. We talked about all these already.
Right.
But the big, I think the big thing for both of us when we're running through our preview, now again, granted, you can take this with a grain of salt. When we talked about the Jets, we were obviously talking about Aaron Rodgers' Jets.
Right.
But I think a big thing with us was when we got to the Dolphins.
Right.
So we need to talk about that real quick.
Well, to finish my point is I think the Eagles are a better team than the Bills, and the Bills had basically zero problem with the Redskins or the Commanders.
Right.
So
right.
At this point, I'm not concerned. I'm not concerned until we get to that Dolphins game.
Yeah. So we need to kind of talk about that because we almost had an NFL record happen over the weekend, where Miami just decided to roll up 70 points on probably the second worst team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Not saying the worst team. We'll get there. And then they bring in Mike White, who just makes them. Miami put in every single backup they had and still were running down the Broncos like they were a high school team.
Yeah, dude. It was that was a rough one. That was, if you're a Miami fan, it was fantastic.
But that was a video game.
Yeah, that was Madden.
Yeah,
that was Madden.
That was a Tecmo game. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that wasn't even Madden. That was Tecmo. I don't know, man. I don't know what to even say about that game, other than like. Are they that good, or are the Bears that fucking bad?
I think the Broncos are that bad. Now here's where,
the Broncos.
Yeah. Well, because you're kind of going where I was going, because the Broncos play the Bears this week, and the Bears are not projected to win. So what does that tell you? Your team just lost by 50 points, and you're favored to beat Chicago.
Dude. And that's – I'm telling you right now, we thought – and we'll get to this in a minute too, but we thought the Cardinals were going to be the worst team in the league.
Oh, no, they're not.
Fucking hell. Well, and part of it was everybody expected Justin Fields – I won't say everybody. Most national media and Bears fans – expected Justin Fields to take a Jalen Hurts step this year.
I think I actually said that during our NFL preview. And I kind of wanted that for Justin Fields because I get a lot of Bears coverage here. I was like, I really thought that was going to happen. Now, here's my take on that. I don't think that's his fault. I think the Bears have the worst coaching and management in the history of the world. I really do. Because they've had so many quarterbacks that they've screwed up at this point.
Yeah, but the coaching hasn't been the coaching hasn't been the same.
I know, but the I don't know. I just don't know. Maybe it's just bad luck. I don't know.
I mean, are they the Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles of the NFL?
That could be. So now here's my take, though. What if the Bears somehow managed to beat the Broncos? Sean Payton can't keep his job, right?
Here's the thing. I don't know that you can fire Sean Payton during the season. I don't know that the Broncos would – I don't know that John Lynch, who's the GM of the Broncos,
right,
would – I don't know that he would do that to Sean Payton out of professional courtesy. Sean Payton's one of the greatest. Well, he's considered one of the best coaches, you know, to ever coach. And I don't know that. I guess it would really depend on whose idea it was to bring him in the first place.
Yeah, good point.
Because if it was John Lynch's idea and the owner's like, yo, you need to fire your boy or else I'm going to fire both of you, then that's one thing. But if it was the owner's idea, the owner might be like, yo, just let them stay till the end of the season, and then we'll get a good draft pick, and then we're out. Or, wait, but wait, did they trade? Wait a second.
They didn't get any. Yeah, they did some crazy stuff to get all that to work out, didn't they?
What is their? Do they even have a first round pick this year?
Let's see, 2024 Denver. It comes up pretty quick. Oh, they do have their own pick.
Okay.
But they don't. Okay. Oh, yeah. So here's the deal. Yeah. Because the Saints still had rights to Sean Payton. Yeah. So they have their own pick in round one. They have a round three pick because the round two pick went to the Saints as part of the Sean Payton trade, which is just so crazy. Their picks are so bizarre. They're all over the place because it's all traded stuff. Like they have a 1, 3, 4, 5, 2 5s and a 7. And a lot of them are just based off of trades.
All right. So as of right now, if the season ended today, you would have Jesus. By the way, we're gonna get into this in a minute, but I want to go through your 1 through 10, your draft, who gets their draft picks, okay? Chicago's 1, Denver's 2, Minnesota's 3. Chicago is 4 from Carolina. The Chargers are 5. Vegas is 6. Arizona is 7 from Houston. Tennessee is 8. Cincinnati's 9. Jacksonville's 10.
Huh?
So, now, this brings me to the same thing that I'm going to bitch about Bleacher Report about. So, Bleacher Report did their, and this is fucking stupid too, but Bleacher Report did their power rankings, and they have Miami 1. Okay, that's fine. I get that. San Francisco 2, and then Philadelphia. This tankathon.com has San Francisco winning the Super Bowl over Miami.
Ugh.
Not only that, they have San Francisco has pick 32, Miami has pick 31, the Eagles have pick 30, Pittsburgh has pick 29.
What?
Indianapolis has pick 28.
What?
And I get that they're doing some of this based off of points and where we're at now, where obviously
Pittsburgh's not going to finish that low.
They've got a 2-1 record.
Third.
So, yeah, that's, but they have Dallas not making the playoffs, which I love.
Yeah, it is. Well, look, we saw week 1 and 2 where, I don't know, Dallas was playing whatever with the Giants, and I don't, you know, want to speak ill of anyone right now in that game, but 40-0 doesn't look good for anybody. And then, you know, obviously Dallas just gets basically this cake schedule
right
early. So we all thought, wow, they're just going to just kill the Cardinals. You know, this is going to be another 40-0. But Joshua Dobbs had other plans.
Mm-hmm.
And
the hairless one came through.
28-16. Yep. Good for him. And you know what? They're making do with players that are not household names.
Dude, they're the Cleveland Indians from Major League.
Exactly. I mean, they're basically – well, they do have – Ertz is still there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, so they have Ertz. But he's not exactly like top of the food chain as far as bringing down balls and getting in the end zone.
Right.
Their top wide receivers like Marquise Brown – I think he came from the Ravens, right? Maybe.
Yeah, Hollywood Brown.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like, but, you know, the guy's, I guess, a known commodity, but he's not Tyreek Hill, and no, he's not Justin Jefferson, and he's not, you know, A.J. Brown, and he's not any of these top-flight guys. He's just a good receiver.
Right, and that's the thing. They've got good pieces. They've got, like you said, Zach Ertz. They've got Hollywood Brown. They've got James Conner, who's a good running back.
Oh, yeah. Keith come from Pittsburgh, didn't he?
Yeah. They've got some pieces on defense. They have Buda Baker. They have Kaiser White, former Eagle. They have Kevon Wallace, who former Eagle, but, you know,
yeah,
whatever. Yeah. But they've got pieces. Where I questioned, and I think where everybody questioned, was the coaching staff. And honestly, the quarterback, because, all right, Josh Dobbs got traded to them week one. He was in the lead up to week one is when he got handed the playbook and said, hey, figure it out, you know? So that didn't exactly portend good things for them. And by week three, he'd figured it out enough to be able to beat Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, so, who after the first 2 weeks looked like a team that they were going to absolutely steamroll. And I hated it too because I honestly thought it was a crap. Like, you know, I obviously, you know, you don't take much stake in week one, said that. But it's like, man, you look at the scores and you look at what they did and it's like, ah, man, you just hate like the fact that they're playing Arizona and you're thinking, man, they're going to run up a bunch of points against them too. You're thinking it's going to be a 30 or 40 to nothing or whatever, you know, type game. And it's like, we're just going to hear nothing but them boys all day long.
Right.
You know, look, it's the one time I want Arizona to win. And especially under Jonathan Gannon's direction.
Yeah.
And they could go 1-16 for all I care. But look, they proved the point. That was that's a statement win.
Yeah.
You know, especially against a team that had basically made the Giants look like little Giants in week one. Mm-hmm. And then, well, they played the Jets, right? Week two.
Yeah.
And, that game was just silly too. And, who did they go from week four though? It's like their schedule is like, it's like ridiculously weak.
Yeah. Their schedule's fucking bizarre. I mean, and look at it like this, too.
Yeah, they played New England, which is probably their hardest opponent, really, on paper, if you take out the Arizona game, apparently.
Yeah. Well, and you look at it, too. The Cardinals played the Giants, and the Cards were beating the Giants. And then all of a sudden, the Giants were like, oh, yeah, we got to play football. And they came back and won their game. But the Cardinals could very well be 2-1 at this point, which surprises the hell out of me. I'm sure it surprises you as well.
Yeah.
And they're showing a surprising amount of fight. Yeah. Maybe we're wrong.
I don't know if Joshua Dobbs can hang in there. I mean, I don't even want to talk about Kyler Murray.
I don't know. They've got a quarterback problem.
Yeah, they've got to figure that out because if I were them, I'd figure out some way to move him if I could.
Yeah. You're going to have to – obviously, you're going to have to wait till after he comes back and he's healthy and he's shown people that he can play. But I don't – the guy doesn't seem to really give a shit.
No, they need to move on. But, yeah, just kind of looking back, though, on anything from week two or three, was there any games or things that kind of stood out to you or other teams that you're like, oh, wow, this is really cool or
I'll tell you what, Sam Laporta, tight end, Detroit Lions. The Lions have been looking good. They haven't been relying on the run game as much as I thought and hoped they would when I drafted Jahmyr Gibbs in both my leagues. but Sam Laporta has been a surprisingly good tight end. He's actually outplaying guys like George Kittle, you know, your Dallas Goedert, your perennially top tight ends in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Stats wise, he's outplaying them. So it's cool to see some relatively unknown players step up and do their thing. It'll be interesting to see what happens now with New Orleans with Carr going down with the sprained AC joint. It looks like Houston made the right choice with their quarterback that they drafted.
CJ Stroud, yeah.
CJ Stroud over Bryce Young.
Yeah, really like they've developed a great receiving core in Nathaniel Dell. And then the veteran Robert Woods, they brought him in. He's looked fantastic there.
Nico Collins
has been, yeah, outstanding. I always forget the top guy, but
John Mechie III, who he was drafted last year and couldn't play due to leukemia. And he made it back. He's been cleared, made it back, and had his first catch.
Oh, awesome. That is so awesome.
Kudos to him. That's really cool. I'm glad he's healthy and back on the field. You know, there's just been a lot of cool stories throughout the first couple weeks. And obviously, you know, I'm most happy about, one, the Eagles being 3-0, despite still not having played their best football yet. And two, Dallas losing to the Cardinals. That, you know, that always helps.
Exactly. No, I, to kind of look at the first couple weeks myself, or excuse me, weeks two and three, it's been week three was a little crazy. Just had some, like, you know, obviously unexpected things, like we've already talked about with the Cardinals over the Cowboys, and the Bills kind of finally showing up and really dominating the Commanders. The Browns, man, they've been really surprising to me, even after the Nick Chubb injury.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, with that Nick Chubb injury.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, it looks like it's just his MCL.
Yeah. So
he's not – I thought he tore every single ligament.
Yeah, I thought he was done. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought his career was over, but they're saying he should be back next year.
Yeah, absolutely wild. But no, the Browns have been surprisingly decent. I love, talking about the Texans. I love seeing how they're developing. I think you're right. I think C.J. Stroud is a good choice. The Jaguars have been good. Kind of surprising there. look, I got to give a little bit of love to Jordan Love. Really surprising. We didn't know how that was going to kind of pan out post Aaron Rodgers. And, boy, he really showed up in week three. And, granted, yeah, that was a game that Derek Carr went down. But Jordan Love routes back a 17-0 hole in the fourth quarter and takes Packers over the Saints in week three. And that's pretty cool to see from a young guy.
Yeah. And that's without some key pieces, too, because they've had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, yeah. They were kind of already running on backups and, taping it together there. But no, I'm moving forward. It's kind of exciting. I am really, really curious about the Bears Broncos in week four, just because I like to see how the really bad teams handle each other.
Yeah. Oh, you know what we forgot? Gardner Minshew pulling a Dan Orlovsky.
Yes.
Out of the back of the head. Is Gardner Minshew's playing in place of the injured
Anthony Richardson. Yeah.
Shane Steichen's 2-1 Indianapolis Colts. So clearly, Steichen knew what he was doing. We knew that. He was the coordinator we were upset to lose.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah. And I tell you what, man, if Anthony Richardson looked really good when he was on the field, throwing up some good numbers. The problem is that he, concussion. So
there.
That's kind of an issue. All right. Real quick, though, we got one little note on the Flyers, and we're going to close up shop. And that note's from you on this one, because I didn't follow along, but I know you do. So
the Flyers played their first preseason game against the New Jersey Devils, got shelled 6-0. Sean Couturier made his way back to the ice. Cam Atkinson did not. So Coots is looking like he's going to play this year, so hopefully they'll put the C on him. He'll be the captain for this year, and we'll see what happens. They also signed Cam Bjarnason. Fuck, I know I'm saying that name wrong, but they signed one of the goalies they drafted this year. Let me see, Bjarnason.
There you go.
So Cam Bjarnason gets right.
Yeah. What about my boy
Carson Bjarnason? There we go. Carson Bjarnason.
Because I know they signed my boy Oliver.
Yeah, they did sign Oliver Bonk. So they got Bjarnason signed up. So that's good. We've got, got some goalies in the pipeline in case something happens with Carter Hart, be it a trade or a suspension or anything else. But still waiting for the fallout from that Team Canada scandal. But, it should be an interesting season this year. I've liked what I've heard out of John Tortorella. Hopefully nobody ends up in his doghouse and gets benched, and then we can't trade them at the deadline, because that seems to be what happened last year. But I'm looking forward to seeing some growth out of them this year. Not necessarily any big shakes. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I don't want them to make the playoffs. I want them to just develop this year.
Yeah. Now we'll dive into that on future episodes. I know you're the resident Flyers expert. I'm certainly not. Although if Oliver Bonk hits the ice at any point in the near future, that might change my tune.
You're going to have to get an Oliver Bonk jersey t-shirt.
Yeah, or maybe the real thing.
Yeah, there you go.
I might dive all the way in.
Well, they did release the new, or they displayed the new jerseys because they did they played a game, so they were wearing the new sweaters. So looks pretty sharp. You might have to snag yourself an Oliver Bonk Flyers sweater.